Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. Happy New Year, January 2nd, 2025. Got it. Nailed it. I'm Atrel Pearl, and it's time for your TNA Impact post show. We are on the road to Genesis. Tonight's show is brought to you by 2024 because they recorded it the night after Final Resolution. So, like, It's a month ago, but it's fine. It's okay. We're going to talk about it because it was live for us. For those of you in Canada, it was live for the first time over on Sportsnet 360. I am one of those Canadians who got to watch it. I do have questions about how you all may have received it if you watched over in Canada. But of course, my American friend is with me, as she always is. Cresta Starr is back, and we are back. Welcome back, Cresta. Happy New Year.
Yeehaw, apple pie, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Just because you said I'm your American friend, I felt... Oh, baseball.
Baseball is very American. That's true. You did hit the three.
Yeah, I think there's something of football.
Yeah, there's a lot of that this week.
Yeah, kicking stuff. Not UK football, American football. Touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah, 7 points. Six points.
Field goal. Something, I don't know. Hi, it's me, Cresta Starr. I have missed TNA. I have missed you guys. I can't wait to discuss the highs and the lows. And it's wrestling, so get into it.
Yes, and you can get into it by, of course, leaving a thumbs up, a like on the video. If you saw your little thumbs up bar kind of sparkle right now, it's because I said leave a thumbs up or a like on the video. So go ahead and do that. And, of course, subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. And FightfulSelect.com, the best soon to be $6 in the business, but you can still get it for $5 or $54 a year if you lock in now before the end of January when the price does go up by a dollar. Subway did it. We can too. That's all I got to say about that. Let's talk about Impact. Overall thoughts before we dig in. I mean, we didn't have a chance to talk about the elephant in the room who made her appearance very well known, and that is the return of Tessa Blanchard to TNA. That news dropped just before Final Resolution. I've given my thoughts over on In the Weeds, our sister channel's morning show over on Fightful Overbooked. Y'all can see it there. Plenty of talk there, but Cresta, you and I haven't really discussed it. So your thoughts. She's back. Here we go.
Wah, wah. Tomato. That's the most nuanced answer that I'm going to give. I mean, tomato.
It's been a month, and I feel like a lot of people are just stuck, and that's how it is. We're just stuck.
All I can hope for is good matches, but I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to treat it like I treat anything else that I don't want to watch in wrestling. I'm going to close my eyes and summon Cthulhu.
And he's going to eat Tessa?
No, he's going to eat my brain and give me more brain worms. I'm just going to get the brain worms, you know? Me and RFK got a lot in common.
I was going to say the RFK special.
The RFK special.
You going to drop a bear in Central Park while you're at it?
There's a joke there, but far be it for me to say it.
You stay away from those areas, Cresta Starr. I believe that you can.
Nah, it wasn't about the bear.
Oh, not those bears.
It wasn't about the bear. Yeah, all right, that's fine. I'll keep my jokes to myself. Yeah, it, you know, That's all I have. That's all I have. Something, something, people are allowed to change. Something, something. I don't care, though.
Something, something. She's never proven that she's been apologetic throughout the whole thing. I've given my thoughts. Like I said, I'm pointing you over to In the Weeds. If you really care and you really want to hear it, I have given plenty of conversation. We spent 45 minutes to an hour talking about it. Jeremy and I did. Check out the history or the lack thereof when it comes to her post-TNA run or things that were expected that were never done. There's plenty of that. And do people deserve a second chance? Yes, but people deserve a second chance after they show that they have genuine remorse and give any sort of apology. And there has not been one. There has been no remorse. There has been no formal apology. And that's, I don't think that that's much for fans to ask for. I really don't. This could have been nipped in the bud years ago. Young, stupid, I don't want to be this person. I will do better, whatever you needed to say, but it was never done. And for everyone who's going to say, this is, you know, and, oh, well, the stuff with La Rosa Negra, she got over that. No, she didn't. I will once again give a little bit of a refresh. La Rosa Negra, by the way, yes, Ricardo saying accountability is the word. Absolutely, that's the word I'm thinking of. La Rosa Negra forgave Tessa because she didn't want to live with that in her heart. Tessa never apologized. La Rosa Negra just said, I don't need this. I'm moving on with my life, and that's it. Tessa never said anything, never did anything. Accountability goes a long way. And just Ricardo sent a super chat saying, y'all telling me because I just canceled TNA Plus. And there are people who decided that they wanted to speak with their wallets, and that is their decision. I'm not going to fault anyone who are a big fan of Tessa and want to see her back. I'm not going to fault anyone who is not interested in watching TNA with her around. I get both sides. I can tell you from my side, I was pretty let down when that decision was made. And we had the reporting over on FightfulSelect.com, and we talked about it ad nauseum at length. And it's just the way it is now.
It sucks because I feel like when it comes to the wrestling world, there are a lot of, there's not a lot, there are a few unforgivables, and unfortunately racism just never seems to be one of them, especially against Black people. Just never seems to be one of them. And it's quite frustrating because I do find her quite talented. I can say that I was a fan, but it's very much, in my opinion, the Hulk Hogan, same thing. You can say whatever you want, and it's fine because wrestling. And it's frustrating because I think about the other performers in that situation might be like, ugh. Like, everyone else was literally busy. And again, people are allowed to grow and change, but there has been no accountability. There has been nothing like, hey, I fucked up. I'm dumb. I'm stupid. You know, I want to be better. I can't tell you how to run your company. It's just incredibly disappointing. That's what I can say. Like, it's incredibly disappointing. It's so disappointing. Like, literally, and now you have people who are like, ugh, TNA. How's that fair? How is that fair? But whatever.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's a business. We talked about the fact that TNA as a company has been up over 2024. They had bigger houses than they've ever had. They've had a lot of really good shows that they've put on. And they are a ensemble cast, which is something that's very interesting when you talk about bringing in someone like Tessa and the reporting again that they didn't tell people that she's coming in ahead of her signing. You cannot do that to a locker room that is close-knit. You cannot do that to a locker room that trusts each other and deals with things internally as they do. This is a point of contention internally, potentially, as well. We don't know because we're not there, but I can tell you right now, if TNA thinks that this is going to add thousands upon thousands of views to their content, I personally don't know if it's going to do that. I don't. And if this is their idea of going big in 2025, I hope they have better ideas. But here we are.
Well, that's all I can say, because at the end of the day, I know what's going to happen. It's the same thing that happens every time. You'll wrestle for a bit. You'll put on a banger. And people are like, that was 20 years ago, man. Look at this match you just had, man. Like, not for nothing. And I laugh because you have to, like, respectfully. Even someone in the chat's like, well, how do you know she's not talking to anyone? There it is. There you go. There it is. There it is. There you go.
No, listen, let me let me put it right back at that person who said it in the chat. Our reporting, again, at FIFOselect.com, was that Jordan Grace, who is scheduled to face Tessa Blanchard at TNA Genesis, pushed back on working with Tessa. I'm not saying that she's being kept in a room and locked away from everyone, but I don't know how comfortable people are around her. And listen, they haven't been together since the TV tapings after Final Resolution. They haven't seen each other in a month. They're not seeing each other again for another 2-3 weeks. They're going to be, the first time everyone is going to be in a room will be at Genesis in Texas. So it's, believe me, it's not a work shoot. And for anyone who's telling us, oh, it's a work shoot, no, I guarantee you, I'm promising you, I am telling you a billion times, do not start with it's a work shoot. It's not. It is not. Believe me, it's not. This is similar to when Scott was fired. They let him go shortly after Hard to Kill. And then the first time they got together was like about a month and a half later. And it was, again, how is the locker room going to be? They rallied around each other. They worked together. Could be the same thing here, where they rally around each other. They work together. They got a pay-per-view, blah, 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 business as usual. So again, it's a little different than what happened with Scott, but it'll be a big test and a big show.
We'll see. Like I say, let it play out. Anyway, let's get into TNA. Enough of this woman right now. We got to talk about her in the main event.
You know what? Since we're already on it, let's just talk about the main event. Spitfire. We're already there, so let's just get it out of the way, because there was a 1A and a 1B story tonight, and so we may as well get to one of the one stories. Spitfire Masha Slamovich and Jordan Grace defeated the Elegances, Tasha Steeles, Tasha Steeles, and Rosemary. That was a fine match. It was a good main event match. I was watching. I got so used to watching on TNA Plus, on YouTube and all that. I finally started watching a show that had commercials again. God damn, there were a lot of commercials in this main event match.
Bro, okay, to be fair, on TNA Plus, I still get that thing that says, we'll be right back. And there was no picture this time. There was no picture. You got commercials.
That sucks. But the match itself was good. There was good storytelling from all 8 women. Everyone has kind of their story coming out of it. The Elegance is versus Spitfire, that was going on throughout the match. Those 4 are going to eventually have a tag team title match, probably a Genesis. And the Elegance is are probably going to win. Masha and Jordan get their spots in. Tasha Steeles, of course, had the match against Masha, and Rosemary and Masha are on their collision course. The one downside is that in this match, we're all waiting for that inevitable, which was Tessa getting involved. However, at the end, Masha gets the win. She hits what they're calling the Requiem, but it's also known as the White Knight Driver on the indies. Hits that on Tasha Steeles. Definitively, that's over. No more Tasha and Masha for now. And next up is Rosemary, because post-match, Tessa Blanchard comes out. She attacks Jordan Grace. Rosemary missed Masha Slamovich and the Elegances and Spitfire brawl. Tessa and Jordan Grace brawl backstage. Tessa chokes out Jordan Grace with the handle of her bag, drags her down the loading dock, which is what happened. That loading dock is where Tessa exited out of at Final Resolution. So like, they're using it as a story point. And Tessa said she's back to take her locker room back. And then the show ends with the Elegances in the ring holding up the Knockouts tag titles, which was hilarious because it was such a weird production decision to have that be the closing shots. What do you think of this main event match? What do you think of the brawl, the ballyhoo at the end of this whole show?
Okay, so the match itself was fine. I did appreciate Tasha Steeles and Masha Slamovich starting this match off really stiff. Of course, got to point out the quad suplexes from all the ladies. That was fantastic. I will say, unfortunately, showing the security guard being attacked before the match, that was literally one of my notes. Okay, get to the end of this so we can either have the Tessa DQ or we have Tessa run out. I thought the Elegances for a tag team that's supposed to allegedly take the titles off of Spitfire, I didn't feel there was a lot of cohesion, but I felt like this was also a smosh, so it didn't have to be. I will say, when Tessa Blanchard ran out and started beating up Jordan Grace, Y'all just stood there and let it happen. I thought we don't like her. Like, what are we doing? Y'all also like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, it was such bad after school special acting. I wanted to squirt gun everybody and say, start the scene over again. This was ridiculous. I can't believe it. And by the time the bad guys got into the ring, the heels got into the ring, it was like a good 10 seconds of Tessa just, there's people in the crowd were yelling out, help her. So that was there was a lot of choices there at the end. The dragging of Jordan Grace out by the bag. If I didn't like you before, Tessa, I hate you now. That was unnecessary. And you know what? I got to give credit where credit is due. Use the heat to your advantage. You already know people don't like you. Be disrespectful. I say, get it. Dominic Mysterio does it. You do it too, girl. Besides that, you know, like, again, it goes back to I don't want to see that. Who I don't want to see that. And that's fine. That's okay for me. If there are people, if you think it'll get money, do your big one, TNA. But like, Savannah Evans could have did this. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Gail Kim could have did it. Hey, I don't know. We could have got Abaddon to do this. You know what I mean? That's just me. But I don't know if you have anything to add on that.
So don't get it twisted. I know that Tessa is a very talented wrestler. Everyone is well aware of her abilities in the ring. They are. They would be silly to just talk away those things. However, there is another side to it. There's a real life side to it, and people are turned off by that. Yeah. Do I think that Jordan Grace and Tessa Blanchard can have a fantastic pro wrestling match at a pay-per-view level? Absolutely. Do I think they will? Yes. Will the story be good? Sure. If they're both bought in, they're both doing business. Jordan's never been one to act unprofessionally when given an opportunity, even if she's not the biggest fan of somebody. Yes, of course. It's just, again, knowing what we know about Tessa Blanchard's history, there is that turns people off. The segment itself, again, the match was very good. It was long, and the commercials kind of took me out of it. But when they did the final closing segment, to me, it didn't feel like they weren't helping her. It felt like they were kind of shocked at first. It's like, oh, she is here, like Tessa is here, and then all the heels kind of got their way in. You saw Spitfire get dragged out of the ring, and then Rosemary went after Masha Slamovich and missed her, like what felt like immediately. Maybe I was just taking my notes and I didn't think of it the same way. The only person who wasn't in it was Tasha Steelz, and she was selling having eaten the pin.
Yeah, so Tasha was dead.
Yeah, well, and that was what it was supposed to be, because the Knockouts champion used like her final move on her, and that was fine. So to me, it didn't feel like the way that you explained it, but like, I can see how you could see it that way. That like, why didn't they jump in to help her? I think it was because the idea was they were supposed to be shocked that Tessa just showed up again.
Why are you shocked? Maybe that's just me. I'm trying to zoom out and be like, okay, let me give you a critique. But as a fan, it's like, AO said it the best in chat, that Jordan's obsessed with Tessa. But also, she came for Genesis, which in canon was like a week or 2 weeks before, whatever it was. So why wouldn't she show up again? And even if so, nobody else is watching the product. Like, you saw that they cut the security guard where y'all was backstage warming. I don't know. Like, as a fan, it's like, bro, the response time was too slow. And by the time you guys did respond, everybody else was awake. I get it. I get where you're coming from, too. I get what you're saying. Like, on the one hand, okay, oh my God, Tessa's here. Let's react. Oh, nah, it's too late. But to me, it was like, bro, 1, 2, 3, crowds chanted, help her. I'm like, what are you all doing? I'm not worried about the wrestling either. Let me be clear here. I was a fan. I was a big fan. I know the wrestling is going to be fine. It's just the outside stuff where it's like.
Yep. The stuff with the security guard. So for those who may have not have watched the show, Jordan Grace earlier in the night had an interview with Gia Miller and effectively said, I'm going to go wait for Tessa. I will be at the loading dock where she made her presence known. And so she sat down at the loading dock on a chair for the rest of the night. And then at one point it's time for her match. So her partners go to get her. And then Santino Marella jumps in and says, oh, I have security here. He's going to help it. On guard. If you haven't figured it out yet, Santino Morales is the dumbest clown. And so we know what's going to happen. And they come back from the break ahead of the main event. And that security guard was laid out. And it's like, who did this? Who did this? And nobody knows because the 8-woman tag has already started. Or at least the entrances have started. So they don't know in the ring that the security guard has been taken out. The idea here is that Jordynne goes out and she feels like it's safe enough because they have security on the case and it'll be fine. She doesn't know that security's been knocked out. So that's kind of the explanation, quote unquote, in the wrestling world, that why she was fine with going out and doing the match and so on and so forth. It's what it is. There were a lot of things that just felt like it almost felt like they knew this was their last taping of the year and they just kind of did shit.
Hurry up, I got a plane to catch. Hurry up.
Like, so there's a promo from Kazarian, and I like this promo. I still got this Call Your Shot gauntlet trophy. It's good. And then Leon Slater walks in, called him over, did Kazarian. He's like, hey, you know, you're a great talent. You're really good at this, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to offer you my mentorship. And Slater's like, yeah, that'd be great. I'm really down for that. And Kazarian's like, well, why don't you carry my trophy to the ring and you can watch me wrestle, watch a star wrestle. And then Leon Slater's like, no, it's not really what I'm doing here. And like, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to pave my own path. And Kazarian's like, well, remember who paved the road you're on. And during that segment, there's a boom that just get like a boom mic that just kind of lowers into the shot now. And I'm like,
I didn't see that.
It's egregiously in the shot. And it's like, come on. And then I do like JDC comes in, says, your kid's a good hand. He's just missing something. He just needs a nickname. And then they make a joke about the future because for those who don't know, Frankie Kazarian back in the day in TNA was known as the future Frankie Kazarian. And they both kind of laugh it off like, no, that'll never get over. It was cute and it was silly, but there were so many moments tonight where I was like, yeah, they're just trying to get through this shit.
I respect it. I have family to see. New Year's balls to go drop. That's so, I mean, horrible.
It's when Final Resolution ended and it was like, Fightful Selected reporting, you know, this contract's up, all of these contracts were up because they're 1-year deals with TNA. I was like, man, they put all of their final contracted wrestlers on these shows so that they could have them lose before they go home. Like, Kushida lost a match tonight. Rhino is having his swan song this week and next week. They're just like one after another. All these people who are done are just slowly getting, you know, taken out. And it's fine. It's the end of the deals. It's just very funny to me.
That's the way it's supposed to be. A wise man named Joel Pearl said, if you're putting someone over, you go out on your back or something like that.
Yeah. Next week, maybe not so much, but we'll see. I don't know where to start now. Joe Hendry. We'll start with that. Let's go right to the top of the show. He comes out number one contender for the world title of Genesis. He won that at Final Resolution. That match, by the way, the four-way between Macklin, Santana, Alexander, and Hendry. If you haven't watched it yet from Final Resolution, go out of your way. Probably one of the matches of the night. There were some really good matches at Final Resolution. That one, and believe it or not, Nick Nemeth and AJ Francis had a really, really solid main event. AJ Francis, who, by the way, this week re-signed with TNA Wrestling. No shock there, but it was really nice to hear that. So Joe Hendry says he's going to win the title, does all the shtick, and then Ryan Nemeth comes out, Nick Nemeth's brother. Ryan Nemeth is just being that obnoxious little brother. That's his new gimmick. And like it works, but it's so obnoxious. Hendry is tarnishing big brother Nick's reputation, according to Ryan. And like, you know, Ryan's getting whatted by the crowd. And he just lets it happen. That part was like, do you know that this is frustrating? Or do you just kind of like, are you just letting it happen? Anyway, they talk about Hendry being a snake. Nobody trusts him. The fans shouldn't trust him either. Blah, blah, blah. Then Joe Hendry makes a joke about Ryan's comedy. And in this whole thing, they get a little too meta, for me at least. They start talking about how Joe Hendry is nothing but a mid-carder. And then at least Hendry turns around and was just like, well, it makes you a janitor, so mop up the floor and get me a coffee. I'm like, okay, that's the best saving of it, but I don't need this meta type of promo style in my wrestling personally. I don't know how other people felt about it, but I feel like being like, you're just a mid-carder is a little too inside. That's how I felt. I like what Ryan's doing. I like what Hendry's trying to do. It seems like he ditched the complete my mission gimmick, which is good. Hope he stays away from that. But what do you think of this promo? Because it's going to lead to a whole lot of things on tonight's show.
I low-key love this Ryan and my brother. Oh, you're so annoying. Oh, this is great. I listen, if you're gonna be a smarmy piece of crap, I love a good trope, and this is fantastic. My big brother, he's gonna be so mad at you when my brother comes and gets you. I was like, yes, I love it. I will say that I get what you're saying about having wrestling promos or things like that be a little bit too insidery. However, I would argue that now wrestling is more, it's kind of like a meme. And as the youth get into it, a lot of them know what a mid-card is, a main event, so it makes sense to start adding it into your vernacular when you are talking to another wrestler. But it's ironic coming from Nick Nemeth's brother calling someone else a mid-carder. I'm like, bro, that's, if you ain't gonna come with nothing else, you coming with the audacity today. So I understand. I completely understand. And Joe Hendry was right, because if Joe Hendry's a mid-carder, what does that make you? A janitor. But I didn't know janitors went and got coffee. So maybe he meant the coffee in the garbage. So that's my critique on there. I understand it. I get what you're saying about don't call someone a mid. You of all people can't call nobody no mid-carder or whatever it is. But also I feel like nowadays people, the memes and a lot of the, that's not super insider lingo to me. And that's a lot of surface level that people know. So I'm in on it. I know.
So there is something to this. So someone in the chat was saying they should have called him a meme, which is what a lot of people have been calling Joe Hendry, is a meme wrestler. And that would have fit perfectly, but yeah. I don't know if that was pitched and someone said no, or, and the janitor thing, it felt like Hendry didn't want to say jobber because that's, again, you're going
that's super rude.
And it just doesn't fit. Like, it fits the vernacular, but it doesn't fit the entirety of the promo. It just felt like they were trying to do something and it didn't come together. But it's not complete my mission, so everything's okay. That really low bar, but we figured it out. It was just not great for the insider stuff. The rest of the promo was fine. This new Ryan Nemeth character, he comes out and I'm like, oh, he's so obnoxious. I hate this. And then I'm like, oh, he's so obnoxious. I hate this. In a good way. It's a good character because you're supposed to hate him because now he's being like, big brother, come save me. I think it's
he hit me, and then he pushed me in the dirt, and then he called me ugly, and then he took my shoe.
Like, we all know people like that.
It's my little brother.
It's so funny. It's so funny. And then they mentioned that Ryan's got a match with Rhino tonight. So they decide that why don't we just do it right now? And so Rhino comes out. Ryan Nemeth beats Rhino by disqualification because Nemeth is working heel throughout the whole thing. And this is another thing that kind of, this is okay. So here's the thing about the Nemeth working heel thing that I'm hoping they kind of get to, because they sure shit didn't do it tonight. No talk of JBL. No talk of JBL. From any angle, no commentary talk, no Nick Nemeth talk, no Ryan Nemeth, because Ryan Nemeth got taken out by JBL at Bound for Glory, and Hendry was in that match. So there is something bubbling here. Something has to happen, but we'll get to that in a second. Rhino uses the chair that Nemeth introduces. Rhino loses the match, and then later backstage, Ryan's like, Nick will be upset. Rhino did this to me, my big brother. Basically whiny bitch Ryan. That's what we're seeing, and it's fantastic. Rhino comes in, and of course Santino Marella interjects again, and next week it's going to be Rhino, and Joe Hendry comes in and he says, I'll be the partner for Rhino, and they're going to take on the Nemeths.
I gotta tell you, that promo where he's lying on a doctor's chair, I was in stitches. It hurts here. Oh no, he hit me. My brother's gonna be the bro. Ryan Nemeth, this is top tier. I don't care if no one else likes it. I'm a fan. If you ain't got no fans, I'm dead. That was great. It's the right level of, yo, I'm going to beat your little brother up. I'm going to beat your little brother up. Like, get your little brother. And Ryan Nemeth, I mean, Nick Nemeth makes some good points throughout the show, because this does lead up to when we're talking about the doctor's room in particular, he's like, what's happening, brother? And he's like, yeah. And it, he went from the doctor, it hurts everywhere, to brother, look. And it's kind of like, I feel like it's giving, maybe Ryan Nemeth contracted JBL and then trying to make it look like it's something else to make his brother be more Killer Instinct. And Nick Nemeth is going to go along with it once the truth rolls out, because it's my brother, man. What the hell you want me to do? It's my brother. So That's my two cents on it. But yeah, Nick Nemeth, this is 10 out. I mean, Ryan Nemeth, this is 10 out of 10. I like this annoying heel character. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something that's going to play in here, and I like it. They're using him well. When it started tonight, I was like, oh, this seems real shitty. And then it kept going, and I was like, oh, no. This might be very fun. So I'm willing to let this one play out. The Rascals are backstage. They talk about their history as tag champions. They put over the Hardys as the tag champions, doing all their moves when they were kids. And then that's tag title for Genesis. Jeff Hardy in the middle of it. Matt Hardy is like, well, you got to beat the goats. And then Jeff Hardy's like, well, no, you got to beat the Rams, the righteous, angelic, magnificent souls. It'd be pretty cool if he did that. And I'm like, what the fuck happened to Jeff Hardy?
Listen, man, I want to be on whatever journey he's on because he knows something that we don't, so.
The man, he's on another plane. And I'm not talking PLA. Well, I guess it is PLA. And he's not in an aircraft.
He's on
vibing. Someone in the chat, he's vibing. Yeah, he's.
Exactly.
He's vibing. Oh.
2 Chainz, a whole nother domain. That's what he says, in a whole nother domain.
So Rascals and Hardys is going to happen. And that's fun. I'm looking forward to that match. Check out a text format interview with Trey Miguel dropped. There's some notes in there over on Bible Select, a couple articles that have dropped as well. Trey and I had a really good conversation over Slammiversary weekend, talking about NXT and talking about all the stuff that happened around Slammiversary, with the tag match that they had with Wesley coming back. So go check that out. A lot of really good comments from Trey. It's all over there. Ace Austin defeats Kushida. Kushida's good night to TNA. Great match.
This is his last match.
That was Kushida's last TNA match for now.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it does not mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. It makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose between personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. There are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's HIMS.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's HIMS.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
I mean, not for nothing, Kushida. You are like our big brother who goes off and does stuff. We'll see you in a couple of months.
He'll be in New Japan. It's fine. Him and Kevin Knight are doing plenty. Kushida, that was his last match with TNA for now. Ace Austin had a fantastic match, those two. Kushida also lost to Moose at Final Resolution, so it's fine. Austin is on the rise in singles competition in TNA, so we'll get back to that in a second, because this is a really fun competitive match. Kushida working over Austin's arm. Austin and Ace Austin having to power through the pain. Eventually Ace hits the fold for the win. And I'm just like, Kushida has left the building. We can talk about the post-match. I don't know if you have any notes about the match itself before we move along.
I do. I do appreciate Ace Austin keeping up with Kushida, whether it was stiff, speed, whatever. Ace Austin has come into his own, whether he's a singles competitor or a tag competitor. Also, when he did his handstand, like, to avoid it, and Kushida said, get that shit out of here. It looked like he literally crumpled. I felt so bad for him. It looked like, ugh. Also, that one-arm gut-wrench suplex, where do they do that at? Like, also, too, like, tonight he was really Quadzilla for real. Like, his base was ridiculous. I have to give it up to both of these men. Also, too, the whatever that was off the top rope into the armbar was gnarly. Kushida is a madman, and I would take the pin. I would take the finger poke of doom. Couldn't pay me to wrestle him. And Ace Austin's arm, either he's a good seller or that inside looks like shredded mozzarella, bro.
That Kushida armbar suplex thing, that's like his special. He does that. It used to be
he looks clean every time.
Yeah, it used to be that he would do it from the hoverboard lock. You know, and just like we talked about the Moose Kushida armbar spear hoverboard lock thing, it's a similar thing. Kushida will take someone up at the top rope, take them down by the arm, and they'll do a flippy-do into some sort of armbar submission spot. It was good. Again, those two have a lot of history. They worked together in various matches. Ace getting the win with the fold was perfect. And post-match, Ace Austin gets the microphone, thanks fans for supporting Chris Bay because they're chanting Chris's name from the audience. They tell the story, or Ace Austin does, about Chris Bay going into surgery, and as they're doing that, he tells Ace to go on a crazy singles run for him. And so Ace wants a TNA title, he says. He calls out Nick Nemeth, but instead Moose comes out and he tries to get Chris Bay's name out for heat. And instead Ace is like, don't you dare, don't you dare. And so instead it's going to be Moose and Ace at Genesis for the X Division Championship. And again, this is, I pointed it out in the crossover. This is why I cannot stand Santino Marella. He comes out, and I'm not going to put on the voice. He says he's been on a singles tear since Chris Bay's injury. And I'm like, well, no, he hasn't. He's had a bunch of tag matches, and he only recently had a singles match at Final Resolution. He beat Trent Seven, and it was a fine match. And then he beat Kushida tonight. But, like, that's two. You don't get a title match because you beat Trent and you beat Kushida. It's not how it works. And Santino trying to put it over as a big deal was like, what are we doing here? Either way, Ace does deserve this. You and I have talked about this ad nauseum. When it comes to Ace Austin, Chris Bay, singles or tag, they deserve more. It sucks that Chris Bay's injury is what is forcing this, but the opportunity is there. And it feels like they're going to go with Ace, at least as a feel-good story. What did you think of the promo and the stuff with Moose and Santino and all this stuff?
First of all, Moose, nobody asked you. We did not call your name and we did not want you to show up. Second of all, I wouldn't want to fight you either. If you fight Moose, you have to fight the whole system. Who has time? I said Nick Nemeth for a reason. If I am Ace, I'm like, yo, nobody would. I don't want to fight you, Moose, because you're not going to fight me alone because he's going to be Eddie Edwards. He's going to be Jaden. I don't want to do that. Also, pretending to be upset, Moose, you don't even want to work. Well, yo, what's happening here? What's happening here? So I do like that Ace Austin was like, bro, I'm one of the best X Division champions. It's nothing to me to make it a fourth time. I just hope. I don't think it'll happen, but I can hope. This is this year of hoping. Maybe you do put it on Ace Austin. I don't think Moose needs to be X Division champion, and it'll be that feel-good story. I don't think anyone would be mad at it. I don't think it takes away from Moose. I think it's a good, hey, it's a good start to something, and we all love Chris Bay, and by extension, and not to say we don't love Ace Austin, we love Ace Austin even more. I don't think anyone loses from it. I do think Moose will beat Ace Austin eventually at Genesis.
I would rather they pivot and give the title to Ace.
I would too.
There is a piece of me that thinks they will. I don't want to give into it now because it's getting into spoiler territory. I've talked about it over on our Discord because people have asked about stuff that came out of the spoilers and the taping stuff. I'm going to leave it at that. When it's introduced to the TV, I'll talk about it. But at the match for Genesis, I think there's a good chance Ace Austin wins, but we also, we don't know if there's a timeline for Chris Bay and recovery. Everyone's been very, I don't want to say tight-lipped because it's none of our business. It's a very serious health matter, but we don't know how long Chris is going to be out. And if it feels like it's going to be for a while, Ace is a great former X Division champion that you can start really building seriously into your main event if he has that title. So I could see him winning and just moving on from there with a solid title run that pushes him further up the card in 2025 into 26.
No, I totally agree with that. I think that would be fantastic. And it has its own built-in feel-good story. And it goes back to what I think the plot device of the system is. No one feels bad when you lose it, when they pin. Like, you guys are jerks. Nobody feels bad. So Moose is a good jerk, a good heel. And it's a good way, in my opinion, to keep Ace's name in the conversation, to keep Chris Bay's name eventually in the conversation. So, you know, again, I always wish for a speedy recovery because, like you said, it's a very serious health matter. So all we could do is hope that they come back soon and that they get well soon, at least enough to do regular stuff and wrestling hopefully down the line. So speedy recovery to Chris Bay.
Speaking of the system, you mentioned them earlier, Macklin, Eric Young, Gresham in the back. This is a really weird segment. It was just like a what's happened, what happens next? That was EY's question to Macklin and Gresham. And all of a sudden the system walk in right in front of the camera, right in front of the shot. And they're just like, oh, we got to get our tag titles back. Moose has that next division championship. Genesis. What are we going to do? And it just becomes a random fight because Macklin just decks Edward Edwards. And I'm like, all right, sure. Here we go. I'm sure that this will be a fine six man tag. But like, I do wonder, what are those six guys going to be doing going into the pay-per-view?
Tag team matches. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I just said it's something that happened.
I mean, yeah. I did like Jonathan Gresham's sweater in this segment. I had to put that out. The sweater and beanie combo was very nice.
He is a good dresser. He is a fine dresser.
Call him Salad because that boy be dressing. I'm sorry.
Nice. Nice. It's like Big E. You ever hear his joke about call me Big Wool because I'm a heavy sweater?
No, that's the first time I heard it.
Yeah, that was interesting. I love that.
Call me Wool because I'm a heavy sweater. Thank you. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Biggie.
There's a couple of super chats from Ricardo. First one was, by the way, Happy New Year, Joel and Cresta. You both roll. You roll too. Thank you, pal. Appreciate you. Happy New Year to you and to our chat, of course. And there was one that he sent earlier regarding Tessa, which was, you know, she was also forced in with management armors, and that's awful too. And it's true because that came in from Anthem making the call. It wasn't a, you know, it was a, we're going to do it. And that was it. No one seemed to have any other say in the matter. And that stuff's frustrating. What was also frustrating, just going back to the Tessa thing, was you have Tom Hannifin when they're showing Jordan waiting at the garage being like, well, Tessa crash impact tonight. And I'm like, whoever's doing this quality control for your production, again, I'm sorry to harp on you. You've promoted that Tessa Blanchard will appear tonight all week on your socials. You can cut out that dialogue from your... Do a reread, do something, because don't ask will Tessa crash tonight because you've been promoting that she will. That's a little nitpick, but it's like you can do this anyway.
I don't have anything to add to that, but you're right. Also, I dropped something in about my keyboard, I'm a jabroni. That's the moral of the story.
I'm all about it. I feel like we have the same chair. Have we had this conversation before?
Maybe. I got it from Costco.
Mine's an Amazon Basics.
I mean, it's probably the same thing. Just one's in real life and one's online.
Oh, no, you've got the three thing. I've got the one in the back. We're old.
We're old.
Lumbar support. That's all it is.
Yeah. I got scoliosis. No, I don't. Oh,
that's the worst. All right. The last thing we got to talk about, actually, probably one of the last things, this Mike Santana promo, which I personally really enjoyed. It comes out, he's holding Josh Alexander's headgear because Josh basically kept Santana from winning at Genesis at Final Resolution in that four-way we talked about. Santana's basically like, I beat life on the streets. I beat being rock bottom in rehab. I beat betting on myself, living comfortably. He was talking about his time in AEW. He's like, I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the standard at TNA. And then out come the Northern Armory. Josh basically mentions their similarities, talking about LAX, the North, how the North sent LAX packing. And I'm like, oh, I see this coming. And then Josh says, as long as I'm in TNA, you'll never be the guy. And I'm like, oh, you see this coming. Cresta, you and I have talked about this. If they're not giving the title to Santana, then Josh is going to give him the heart and soul on the way out from TNA. And it's absolutely happening. Not before they're going to have Santana beat Northern Armory's ass next week, because they're going to do a gauntlet. Those were his words. He's like, I can kick your ass. I can kick your ass. I can kick your bald ass.
I'm just laughing because Judas Icarus and Travis Williams about to get beat up again.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But I do like that they mentioned the similarities between Josh Alexander and Mike Santana's rise in TNA. This is two guys betting on themselves, doing the work, and being those dudes. And now Santana has the opportunity to become what Josh was. As Josh leaves for free agency, he could come back to TNA. There is a possibility that he decides, you know, maybe free agency isn't for him. The deals don't work. TNA matches a deal, whatever it is. If he comes back, there's room. But assuming he doesn't, Santana's the guy. And I know you and I sat here and talked about how it should have been at this pay-per-view. It should have been at Genesis. It should have been. Listen, they're going to have UBS for Slammiversary. They're going to be on Long Island. Santana's a New York guy. If they want to do a big, big moment, big homecoming moment, to me, that's it. That's the moment. And if it's going to wait until July, I can wait that long for Santana.
And Santana's a good guy to have the heart and soul, because I think he has something like when they talked about the similarities that Josh Alexander has as well. When these guys talk and deliver, I guess I don't know if you call it the rallying cry promos, you really feel it. You can see yourself in Josh Alexander when he said, I beat Christian Cage for the TNA title and I didn't even put it around my waist before I got pinned. That sucked. I remember watching that. However, I understand what he's trying to point out in that moment. Like, listen, bro, I get what you say, but I'm not out here whining and complaining. We're both going to zip up and lace up our boots, zip up our pants, and come out here and fight and wrestle. We're the same, but you're not me. And to the kernel of truth, as long as Josh Alexander is there, he's right. You'll never be the heart and soul. Because the moment Josh Alexander goes face, these crowds will turn on you. I've seen it. Daniel Bryan was cooking when he called us fickle, but they will turn on you because like that's just real. Josh Alexander got to go out as a heel because the moment Alexander is like, now I'm gonna be a good guy. Like, yeah, Max Santana, we like you, but suck mom. And there's nothing wrong with that. I do think that him in a heart and soul, the face of the brand situation, beating up big heels like Moose, beating up big heels like, let's say, Trent Seven comes back. People are just going to be nasty. He's the guy. He's the guy because with all due respect to Joe Hendry's the guy, but kind of like Cody Rhodes, like, you're such a good sanitized guy. And when you get a little bloody, it's like, ugh. Mike Santana is literally Arn Anderson. He may, you know, give you the glock-a-doodle-doo. Yeah, he'll beat you up in the ring. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm not mad at that. I think he would be fantastic. But in order for that to happen, Josh Alexander is completely right. He's got to go. And poor Northern Armory, because Mike Santana's about to beat you guys up for free. But I will say Judas Icarus and Travis Williams have been nothing but fantastic. I can't even say they've improved, because since they've been here, they've been fantastic. And I'm very happy for them to be put in such a position. Even if you get in the good hands treatment, you're still getting on the spotlight. So good for you.
Again, these are two guys that, when Josh leaves, I want them to go and be the tag team. That we know they are. They're young. There's still plenty of time, but I want them to start capitalizing now and not just be Josh's lackeys, because there was opportunity right away. Feels like they haven't fully realized it yet, but that also might just be because they didn't know what was going to happen with Josh and his contract. Mm-hmm. Now that he's put it out there, I'm done. You know, February 15th, that's the end of it. That's just it. So I'm still curious where the world title system goes, not the system, where the world title card goes, because if Joe Hendry wins at Genesis, then you go all the way to Rebellion. Maybe Sacrifice, there's a win. Rebellion, there's a title defense. He wins again. And that's when he gets cashed in on by Frankie Kazarian. Then you go back
to about that.
Yeah, then you go back to Kazarian and Santana at UBS in July, and that starts the Santana reign. because I don't think that Santana beating Joe Hendry is a good idea.
I agree with that 4,000%. I don't think that does it. It's going to screw one or the other, and I think it'll be Santana.
Unless they do something where Hendry turns heel, but I don't think the fans would necessarily go for it.
Yeah.
It's got to be something really dastardly. So instead, I would expect Kazarian to, But then they got to do a feud that lasts April through July. They can do something. So that's kind of where I'm at. Joe Hendry has a short-ish title reign and have Santana win it by July, by Slammiversary.
Only thing that would suck about that is because I think we've talked about this before, about how TNA, especially in their main event scene, is so top-heavy. I do think that Joe Hendry, with all the momentum he had in 2024, deserves a lengthy run here in 2025. That is not to diss anything away from Mike Santana, who also had a phenomenal year in 2024. With all due respect to Moose, he's had a phenomenal year. Whether he took the bad guy route or whatever, he was on everything. Whether you like him or not, Moose has had a good... And then there's still Frankie Kazarian looming in the background. It's very top-heavy. I'm happy for Nick Nemeth, and I'm not saying his title reign should end either, because what's going on with JBL? That's been dragging on now. And like for 3-4 months, we want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. So I don't know how they booked themselves here. Not all of those guys are going to get a title. I know that, but like who out of those, like Frankie Kazarian is obviously, like, you say we could screw him, but why would you do that? You're going to screw Santana? You're going to screw Joe Hendry again? Nick Nemeth got the title right now. Moose is going to cash in on somebody? Is Moose going to do the same thing he did to Josh Alexander, to Mike Santana? You're not even going to put the belt around your back and he's going to cash in his X Division? I don't know where it goes. I just know that the main event scene is very top heavy for them, and as excited as I am, you guys are kind of booking yourself into a corner here. So what you going to do?
This is one thing that I continue to harp on. And that is when I watch these matches, if you got to put Hendry and Santana, their matches from this past year up against each other, I'm sorry, but Santana had better overall matches. It's not a knock on Joe Hendry as a performer. Mm-hmm. I think he's fantastic. But when I watch Santana's matches, man, I'm enthralled. I'm in there. I am watching. There's a good story. There's a good pace. There's something to it. That's why I'm like, he is world champion, head of the company guy. Hendry, no knocking him. Like, he's really good. There is a place for him in his position. And I'm not saying mid-card. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying I see longevity with Mike Santana more than I do Joe Hendry. And that has nothing to do with the idea that Joe Hendry might be out the door at the end of his contract to go, maybe go to WWE. If he does, great. He has a short world title reign. That's good. It shows that they reward him for the time that he put in, rewards him for the work that he does, rewards him for the fact that he's gotten better over the year and put in the work. That's a reward. But long-term, again, Santana is that dude. That's where I'm at with that.
No, I agree. I think there's a comparison here to be drawn that in this case, Santana is Bret Hart and Joe Hendry is Shawn Michaels. They're both phenomenal performers, but for two separate reasons, if that makes sense.
So Chad is saying something that I very much disagree with now. He's saying Joe Hendry puts asses in seats. I think up until October.
Yeah. He had a hot run. And they kind of, I don't want to say they screwed him, but he's definitely been cooled off significantly, where the way it used to be before, he was up there with levels of Becky CM Punk chants. It was ridiculous.
The Hardys are putting asses in seats. Believe me when I say they are going to see the Hardys. They're not going to see Hendry, but the tide definitely shifted. When I was at the Slammiversary, I mentioned this again, in Montreal, they were all there for Speedball and they were there for PCO. PCO for a big deal because of his history in Montreal. But when Joe Hendry's music hit, they were all in and they were big fans. Do not get me wrong. Fans were behind Joe Hendry. They continue to be. But I don't think that people are buying the tickets or watching the shows specifically for Joe. I think that they are seeing him as a big player in this company, but they're not seeing him as the guy right now.
Which is kind of unfortunate because I do think that there was a momentum there. I will say that to agree that he does need to be rewarded. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but I do think that there should be a title run for one Mr. Joseph Henry. Mainly because I do think that there are people who still tune in for him to that point. And I think it would reward the quote-unquote casual viewer, because I love TNA. Let me say that again. I said it at the crossover saying I love TNA. And I do see why people will tune in for someone like him. He's fantastic. But the most TNA thing to do is not make him champion.
Yeah, they didn't strike while the iron was hot. But maybe they didn't think that the iron was hot enough for him. And I've had this conversation with Jeremy over on In the Weeds a billion times. And like, I get both sides of it. I thought they could have struck while the iron was hot. I think the worst thing that they did was with Slammiversary having a 6-man elimination match, which at the time I was like, oh, it's good. It busts up the main event scene because there were so many dudes at the top. It busted up the scene, yes, but they also took a guy who held the title, the world title, for almost 2 years, and they eliminated him from the match and did the whole, you know, now we're definitely going to have a new champion. Mm-hmm. There was no importance behind who wins the title at that point. Like, it wasn't a big moment that Moose finally lost. They just turned it into Joe Henry beat Moose. Let's move on. Like, it just,
yeah,
it was, they didn't make it a big moment, which I would have liked. So again, just talking about striking with the iron is hot. And someone in the chat mentioning, you know, he's comparable. Joe Henry is comparable to LA Knight. You want to cheer for him, but the world title might not be in the cards. And I think that's a really apt, like,
I can see comparison. That too.
But I think he's going to win it at Genesis, because you cannot honey dick the fans for a third time. You cannot. People were already upset at Bound for Glory. You cannot do it again for a third time.
I want to believe that you cannot do it again. And I, again, as a TNA loyal, TNA faithful, yes, you absolutely can. Yikes. I hate to say it like that. But I will say that in this case, part of the issue is TNA is very top heavy. And that is not a bad problem to have. You've got a lot of people at the top of the card, because whether it's Nick Nemeth or Moose or Joe Hendry or Kazarian or Mike Santana, there's an argument there for all of those guys. There's even an argument there for people we're not even thinking about. Ace Austin, there's an argument for that. There's an argument for the system to implode and a JDC or an Eddie Edwards. They are so top heavy that unfortunately for Joe Henry, when he got his meteoric rise, I think they should have did it right then and there. And we could have do what we're doing now and it had been fine. But if you don't strike at some point, like Joel said, you can't honey dick the fans again. But I'm also like, bro, this is TNA. They're absolutely all going to honey dick us again. But if you don't do it now, then I don't think it's ever going to happen, unfortunately.
If I'm TNA, put the title on Henry. You go to the live Impact and you make a big deal out of it. Joe Henry has an announcement. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be part of the Royal Rumble, the first TNA world champion in history. The first current TNA world champion in history to be in the Royal Rumble. And that make that a big moment on live TNA television, play it on socials, blah, blah, blah. Then Henry goes into the Rumble in a couple of weeks afterwards with the title. And that's easy as that. I would love to see that. Make that a big moment for TNA. I don't know if they'll do it, but he's teased it certainly enough that he would do it. Or that at least he'd be a part of the Rumble, which I could see. Have him go on with that world title. Mickey James did it. That was a total.
I was just thinking the same thing. Like, didn't Mickey James do that too? But that would be such a nice first.
With Mickey, it was completely different too, because Mickey was still a free agent. She was working Impact at the time with that title around her waist, but she was never signed to a deal. She was per appearance and she had the title and she wanted to wear it out there. And it took a lot of finessing and finagling to make that happen. And then it did, which was great. But this time it would be TNA contracted star with their world championship coming to the ring for the Rumble. Doesn't have to be long, just long enough that you get to put it over one at a Genesis going into the Rumble. What if he wins? Then he becomes a double champion at WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. Like, give him a little something.
Yeah.
And that's cute.
If he made it with that title, I agree with that. If you put the title on him and let's say he makes it to the top five in Royal Rumble, that'd be so cute. That'd put a lot of eyes on the product once again. And that'd be something. I just don't know how you pull that trigger. And in a world, if you and I are thinking on the same page, you have Henry do that. Hendry comes back to TNA, does maybe one more title defense, gets screwed over by Frankie Kazarian, who then gets screwed over by somebody else. You know what I mean? It could work. Like Moose is, let's say it is Ace Austin versus Moose. Moose squashes Ace Austin, whatever. And Ace Austin becomes obsessed with him. Like, I'm going to beat you up. He's crazy. I'm not fighting him again. You know what I mean? Something like that. I could beat up Kazarian. I'll option C it. Hey, get this crazy. You go fight the mother X Division guys. I got better things to do.
Want to see Hendry go into the Royal Rumble? Frankie Kazarian calls a shot during the Rumble, wins the TNA World Title. JBL on commentary. He's not supposed to be here, Michael, but I am.
JBL, why are you here? Nigel McGuinness comes out of nowhere. What is happening?
Perfect. No, but I see. If you want to make a big deal on your first live impact in years, the crowning of Joe Hendry as the world title, world champion had happened. Now he's making this major announcement. I'm declaring for the Royal Rumble, the first TNA active world champion, blah, 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 blah. That's a moment. That's something that TNA can rest their hat on and make it a big thing to start the year. But for now, the world champion is still Nick Nemeth. And we didn't talk about him coming out saying, I'm going to steal the show. I'm going to win at Genesis, retain my title. Ryan Nemeth comes out and he's like, big brother, big brother, big brother. And he heals it up annoyingly. And Nick basically walks off saying Ryan got them into this mess and now they're gonna have to TCB taking care of business because it's the 80s again across all wrestling shows. You get Saturday Night's Main Event, they're using 80s themes. TNA is using every 80s reference possible in one night. The TNA is just like, AEW is using every reference possible to the 80s, and now you got TCB because Nick Nemeth is a product of the 80s. Still no JBL reference, but that's the show. Anything to add about the Nick Nemeth promo at the end of the night that we completely skimped over till now?
He's Nick Nemeth's brother. The end.
Basically a good wrap on January 2nd, 2025. TNA Impact. Whew. We'll be back next week, won't we?
Yes, we will, ladies and gentlemen. I can't wait. Can't wait.
You'd plug your stuff and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I have stuff to plug. Hi, my name is Cresta Starr. Hopefully, I'm here every Thursday with you guys, with you, talking about TNA Impact Wrestling. You can find me here Thursdays and Saturdays where I go over Collision with Iridian, Rick, or some cast of Fightful members. You can also catch me every Wednesday, mostly, because I'm a jabroni, on twitch.tv/CrestaStarr or tiktok.com/CrestaStarr before it gets banned here in the United States. You guys are fantastic. You can find me on Blue Sky. I almost said Blue Moon. That's a beer. You can find me on Blue Sky, CrestaStarr. My link tree is in the bio, and I can't wait to be friends with you, Joe Pearl. Where can they find you?
For now, we're still on Thursdays doing the TNA post show. We'll be back next week. We are going to do a TNA Genesis review. Steven Jensen's sitting around just being like, I don't know if they want me to cover the GCW show at Hammerstein or if they want me to just... Motherfucker, you're doing our show. You are doing the Genesis post show, Steven Jensen, okay? I'm telling you now. So the three of us will be here after Genesis to cover that show, but we also, Cresta and I, do every week Thursdays with the Ring of Honor crew after. They go before, we go after. Anyway, that's that. Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday, Jeremy Lambert and I go in the weeds. We do that 10 a.m. Eastern over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. We'll be live tomorrow if you're listening to me on Thursday. If it's Friday, you should probably go tune into the show now. But till then, that's all I got. For Cresta Starr, I'm at Joel Pearl, thejoelpearl.com over on Blue Sky. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.